In the studio, I've got Javier Miade and Wanda Barker. Good morning.
Buenos dias. Morena.
Did I get your pronunciation okay, Javier?
Yeah, you're doing okay, Adam. Yeah.
Okay, so it wasn't that good, but you're generous.
Well, it's the it's hard
oh,
to
yeah.
The Javier de Mexico. You know?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah, that wasn't going to happen in a hurry. You guys are doing an exhibition at the Wharf Gallery over Easter. The exhibition will be ready to go on Thursday, but you've got an official opening on Friday night. And the two of you together, why this sudden exhibition? Because I know it is a bit sudden.
Well, the fact is that unfortunately the gallery is closing.
Mm-hmm.
And Wanda had a show program for May.
Yeah.
And I had one for the end of April. And since the gallery is sadly closing, Sharon has given me the key and said, you have it for the weekend. And
this is Sharon, the business owner, the gallery owner.
Sharon O'Brien. And she also asked me, why don't you get Wanda to use the space, which I think it works very well, and we're really thankful for Sharon to be able, well, first to have the first kind of serious dealer gallery in Raglan, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's really sad to see it closing down.
Why has she closed it down? Do you guys know?
Well, it hasn't been a successful business as such. You know, like people are not buying art that much. And I think this is happening in most of the art galleries here in Aotearoa.
Yeah, the last few years since COVID, I'm sure it hasn't been fantastic. So,
And, well, I don't want to speculate on the reasons for Sharon, but for sure we're really thankful for her to having that opening and really expanding the horizons of the art here in Whangaroa.
Yeah.
Because she brought artists from mainly residing in Auckland, but some artists from Samoa and from the islands, you know, which was not what we normally see here in Raglan.
So, Wanda, how far away was your exhibition going to be? It was still a few weeks.
It was mid-May.
Mid-May, but
but the work was all done.
Oh, the work was all done.
Pretty much done.
Okay, yeah.
And Javier just called me on Saturday. And I was at a family gathering, so I was two champagnes into the gathering, and I just said yes without hesitation.
Sounded like a wonderful idea.
This is great. But it's been pretty interesting installing it. Javier's work and my work's very different, but complementary.
Okay.
So we had a couple of days to mess around with our paintings and hang them, and it's looking pretty good. I'm happy.
What are the things about hanging it that... What's that like? Like, I can't even imagine, like, I could just throw some paint into the wall and see what happens.
You can, Aaron. But actually, when you have two quite distinctive styles of art or more, you've got to have a curator's mind or eye. And it's not just about your own art. You've got to figure out how your pieces fit with other pieces. So it's been great. And Javi and I have worked together in the art world for a long, long time now, so we kind of know each other really well. We're old friends and we've had shows before together. And, it's neat. It feels like a really good thing to do. Sad that it's the end of an era for Sharon, but... still a good thing.
Yeah.
Good celebration for Javier and I.
So when you put the paintings up, is it like a journey around the room, or is there a narrative going on? Do you like create a story?
In some cases that might be the case. In this one, it was just looking at the work that we have. You know, because I've been working towards the exhibition, and one that works constantly, and she has a lot of work, you know. So basically the idea was to show, to bring to the gallery what we already had and kind of sit there and see what works and where, you know. And I took one side of the gallery, Wanda took the other side of the gallery, because the gallery is kind of clearly divided in two main spaces, you know. and we share the main wall, if you like, the show wall.
Yeah.
And apart from, and it kind of works really well because one side, it becomes more quiet, if you like. A bit of my work looks even a bit thin, which is not. If you look at it on its own, like Carolina keeps saying, you know, that's my partner, keeps saying that if we look at my work on its own, you know, it does, it looks sometimes very, well, not very, but some kind of aggressive. Or, but next to Wanda's,
yeah,
it's kind of like so quiet and calm, you know. So it's like yin and yang going on in
Wanda, what's going on with your art, Wanda?
Well, a lot is going on with my art, Aaron, a lot. Yes. But I mean, Javier's right. There's sort of the Zen side of the Wharf Gallery, and then you come around the corner, and mine is quite challenging, chaotic, very colourful.
Yeah.
So it's sort of this lovely dance between chaos and stillness.
Mm. So this is a question I ask. We're on the radio. We can't see your art right now. Can you describe your art, not in conceptual terms, but actually in visual terms?
Okay.
Well, you can throw the conceptual in as well because it's important.
Okay. I'll have a go.
Yeah. I look forward to this.
So they are mostly big work, so I've got some smaller ones.
Yeah.
I use a range of materials. So I paint in both acrylic and oil, but I also collect old fabric and vintage buttons and all sorts of bits and pieces. So some of the works are heavily collaged with the bits and pieces in the bric-a-brac.
Yeah.
And then I pour paint all over them and resin all over them, and they're quite textural and heavy with structured elements. So a lot of my work invites people to touch, and I know that's sort of the sacred cow in a white space is you don't touch the art, but actually I don't mind people touching.
Right, interesting.
Because it's, but probably not, don't touch Javier's because it's much gentler and more delicate. And mine, you know, if bits fall off, I could just stick them back on. And
interesting.
Yeah. So it's bright, it's colourful. The text in the work can be quite challenging. So I'm painting a lot of how I feel. In the picture on the poster, Aaron, that's old wallpaper.
Mm, right.
And old lace.
I was looking for text, yeah. But
yeah, that's one of the few ones that there's no text on. There are a few. But
And how do you get to, how did you get to this style or this approach?
I think I've always had a fascination with nostalgic elements without getting sentimental. So I end up gathering a lot of old bits and pieces from the 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
And that was an era that was really colourful and a lot was changing in society. It was a time of rapid change.
And fashions were wild.
Yeah, so I've got a lot of beautiful old fabric, old cushions, old curtains, bits and pieces that I have acquired for years, 20 or 30 years. And then I inherited all of my mother's sewing paraphernalia and her watercolour paintings. So I'm collaging paintings within paintings. I'm bringing a bit of my mum's work into my own work.
Okay.
So, yeah.
There we go. Javier, give us the lowdown, the visuals.
All my work in this time is on paper, mostly in a really beautiful, heavy watercolor paper. They are all on frame. But the actual work, it has some kind of what will be called something between action painting and Japanese kind of brush strokes, you know. Very action painting. You know, I don't know if anyone is familiar with Max Gimblet, which is a Kiwi painter who uses that a lot, and or Tapies, for example, the Spanish painter, and I also mix in a bit of calligraphy. You know, I always love calligraphy, and this time is what is called asemic writing, which basically it says nothing and means nothing, you know, but it kind of looks, it's got all the characteristic of calligraphy.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking at that. Yes, I see, yeah. So, but you do you get people going up to it trying to understand it?
Yeah, they asked me. I had one some months ago in the Wolf Gallery itself, and somebody asked me what it said, you know, and she was about to buy it, apparently, you know. And I said that it really said whatever she wanted to say because it wasn't a real text on it. And she must have been disappointed about that because she never bought it.
Oh, no. You can make your own font, a font that doesn't work.
Yeah.
And I have to say that a couple of the works are painted in a really beautiful paper that I recycled from student work when I was teaching at Wintec. And in one side is a painting or a print from a student. And sometimes they abandon the work in there. And the good paper I kind of rescue, you know. Uh-huh. So if someone gets some of those paintings, they will find that in the back is another work of art. not mine.
It's got a B-side.
Exactly.
That's funny. So this, the one we're looking at here on the poster, is that two pieces of paper that you've painted across?
Yes, what is called a diptych, yeah.
Oh, yeah, two together.
Yeah.
I want to understand this picture that I'm looking at, and I know the audience isn't, but there's two pieces of white paper with some of the non-writing that Javier was talking about and red brush strokes across it, across both, in a basically an oval shape, but not exactly.
Yeah, well, one of the reasons is because of the size. When you use those big brush strokes, you're using your whole body to...
This is what you mean by action painting? Your whole body is moving?
Yeah. And so you needed a larger space. And having the pieces of paper that I had, I did it that way, which is not the first time I do something like that. And I kind of like the division and the union, you know, like they're separate, but they're together, you know. So I think will be quite a challenge to frame, you know. but I kind of like that ambiguity of being together and not.
I would love to see that framed with, because the red brush strokes go between, well, I think they do, I can't tell because there's a red background. I'd like to see them on the wall with the red brush strokes actually on the wall in the gap between the paintings. Like the artist came to your house just to to finish it. Yeah, that would be kind of fun. So neither of you do I'll use the terms incorrectly, but like realism or lifelike pictures. These are much more abstract, impressionistic maybe. Yeah. I'm not sure. Do you apply a term to what you guys do?
Yeah, you're right. You know, it's more abstract work. Yeah. It's not figurative.
Yeah. Why?
Well,
they're shrugging their shoulders.
No. I paint what I feel, not what I see necessarily.
Yeah.
Though I have two pieces in the show which have rabbits in them because I have a lifelong fascination with children's literature, and Alice in Wonderland is my favourite book. So I've done a whole series of Alice paintings, and that's as realistic as I will ever get.
Right.
Because an abstract painter is working with the materials, the materiality of something. So you're just... My experience, it might be different from Javier because he works a lot more quickly, but I layer up a work, and the first layer is just what I would just call your first thoughts or even quarter thoughts. The second layer is a little bit more structured until the structure emerges from the paint or the collaging process or the texture of the work. So when a painting is completed for me, it's quite a quick process. I'm like, oh, that's done, and there's an element of surprise.
Okay, right.
So I try and keep my brain out of it. I try and keep my head out of it. Like Javier talks about a whole body experience. An abstract artist is more visceral, I think, than if you're sitting quietly representing an accurate landscape.
Mm.
Our processes are quite different.
And so you're not the type to say, oh, it's never finished, but I have to stop now? Like, Well, you don't keep going back to it?
I can keep some paintings I have worked on for 20 years.
Oh, okay, all right.
I know it sounds crazy.
Is that ready for sale yet? Or
no, because I'm never satisfied. Do I think my paintings are good? Some I love. I don't know if they're good, but I have this thing of, that is satisfying.
Right.
That's how I know a painting's done. So if I'm not satisfied with it, there's elements of it that need to be fixed or reworked, so it goes in the back room. When I'm satisfied with something, is that, that's done. That's finished.
So when you go to do your art, do you have to get in the right headspace for it, or do you take whatever headspace you're in, and that's what ends up on the painting? Javier's going to answer this one.
Yeah. Well, actually, I need to be into that headspace. You know, sometimes it might take hours to actually do that action painting, do that that stroke. You know, sometimes it's just one brush stroke or two, but it's not like you sit down and do it, you know. It takes, you know, you have to kind of psych yourself into it, if you like, or be in the right space and so on. And once that's done, and then the ink usually, or the paint that dries, you know, then I go back to it and complement it with a couple of, touches of paint, and I'm using gold paint lately, you know, like it's, I don't know, it gives something to the adds something to the painting that I really appreciate, I really enjoy, and then do the calligraphy. So once I have that brush stroke, I kind of work on a composition, you know, like how can I complement this particular image, you know.
So are you standing around in the studio waiting for that moment? For the brush stroke, waiting for the right emotional state.
I keep it on my mind constantly, you know, and then it's a timing. Also, you know, that's also interesting too, that I've been using some of the ink, that Sumi ink that Martin Tembo is making.
Okay.
And so in order to get the ink working, you have to grind it, you know. So you're in a stone because the ink comes in a stick, you know. And you really have to rub it hard with a bit of water, you know, to make the ink running. So by that repetitive movement, you know, by the time that you have the ink going, your mind is also ready to go, you know.
Yeah.
Is there a meditative quality about that preparation?
I guess, yeah. Definitely. Yeah, okay.
That's going to help, yeah.
I think there is a lot with abstraction. Like, people might be surprised to know, but I'm quite a disciplined person. So my discipline is to go into the studio most days, even when I feel like crap and I don't want to paint and I'm not interested and I think I'm a failure. I still make myself do something, whatever the thing is. And it might be just collaging on a piece of paper with an old magazine, or just... And that is my process of getting myself into that place of settled enough to pick up the brush to paint something. But there's a lot of mistakes made on the way in my process. And the mistakes or what doesn't work are the things I will sit with and examine. I might sit in my chair with a coffee and just stare at what look like, you know, glazed over eyes, like... But I'll just stare at one corner of a painting. So anyone observing that over time would think that was quite mad, but that's a common practice for an artist.
When you're in that, like, I mean, if I did that, my mind would wander and go to other places. Yeah. Does that happen, or?
Well, it kind of does. It flies off, but you bring yourself back. You pay attention to what you're doing in that moment, and it works. If it works, it's wonderful, and I have that feeling of, and I imagine it's like that for you, Javier, when you do that single brush stroke, you know?
Yeah, and I have to say that I use music a lot to help me, you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes I have painted with live musicians, you know?
Yeah, like, last time we talked about your paintings was with Freddie.
With Freddie, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Freddie Lumbert, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So. And you did, didn't you do a performance at the Yard? a painting performance? Was that you guys? No, that was someone else.
No, it wasn't me. No, I think it was this...
From Ulo's.
From Ulo's, yeah. She's fantastic. You know, the work that she does is really amazing. All the graphics of Ulo, I find really, really nice.
Could you do that live, or is there suddenly some pressure on that it might blow it?
I have done it live. You know, I have one big, a couple of big paintings that I did here at the town hall so many years ago when Clary Creswell was still going. With he playing, and Sid Lindbergh was there, and Dave maybe. And I think even Nigel Hurst, you know, and the drummer Kevin, who's gone now, departed, you know, and Kevin Thomas, you know. So we did that on the town hall, you know, with a few people around, and it was So we can do it live too.
I guess that either the pressure either ruins it or increases the focus, maybe.
My first ever show, by the way, now that you talk about it. It was in Mexico City back in the mid-70s, you know, and I painted on the gallery. You know, I have already a screen print, and then I paint on top of that, you know. And I invited a musician to come, you know, a bass player, a jazz bass player, and he never turned up. You know? So I end up having, just as well, I have a good ghetto blaster like we have in those days, and put some free jazz on it, so I'm able to do what I did, you know. But yeah, I always been connecting music and painting, though.
Wow, interesting. So, folks, we are talking to Javier Miade and Wanda Barker. The exhibition is running through Easter. It's opening, the doors are open on Thursday, aren't they? But the official opening is when?
On Friday at 5.
Yeah.
Friday at 5 at the Wharf Gallery.
Yes.
And is this the last exhibition at the Wharf Gallery?
Yes, it seems. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Sadly, it is. Yeah.
Sadly.
Yeah.
A new opportunity for someone at the Wharf as well, perhaps.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Thank you heaps for coming in this morning.
Thank you, Aaron.
At short notice, too. Brilliant.
Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you.